3, 2, 1. Good evening. Welcome to another exciting session in Ever-Increasing Word Training Center. Once again, I am your instructor for this class, Moving in the Gifts of Revelation and Prophecy, under the apostolic ministry of Apostle Leroy Thompson, Sr., who's the founder for this school. We're so thankful for him, and once again, the call of God that's upon his life, and for the royal family. And so, Father, tonight, we thank you for all of these students. We ask that you would grace them, that the Holy Spirit would be present with us, imparting unto us revelation knowledge, that we may enter into the prophetic flow and cause signs, wonders, and miracles to be made manifest in and amongst your church. Thank you for the greatest teacher, the truest teacher, the Holy Spirit. Help us, Holy Spirit, and we are forever thankful in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, tonight we're going to look at chapter number 5, which talks about distinguishing, discerning, and judging in the realm of prophecy. Let us begin. Distinguishing between prophesying under the spirit of prophecy and having the resident gift of prophecy. Those who prophesy under the spirit of prophecy, they are dependent upon a conducive atmosphere or an environment, while those who have the resident gift are dependent upon their ability to hear and to receive from God. Those who prophesy under the spirit of prophecy, they do not prophesy as regularly as those who operate or function in the resident gift of prophecy. They are dependent upon the atmosphere and the prophetic unction being present. Those who operate under the spirit of prophecy, they prophesy up under a different lower level of prophetic anointing. They are learning to move in the prophetic anointing. It is at this level that the church members or the congregation can learn to move into the operation of prophecy. 1 Corinthians chapter number 14, verse number 31 says that all can learn to prophesy one by one. Those who operate under the spirit of prophecy, they can develop the prophetic flow until it becomes a resident gift. This happens by observing the following: becoming more sensitive to the inner workings of the Holy Spirit, and becoming more sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. That is called communication with the Holy Spirit. Prophesying more regularly, thus storing up the gifting and creating an atmosphere of faith for yourself. That is participation in faith. Associating and fellowshipping with the prophetic ministers and working with them. That is in association with others. By removing the setbacks of fear and ignorance and knowing or learning how to move more frequently into the prophetic realm. Information deals with what we have in our mind, but revelation deals with what we have in our spirit. revelation, truth teaching. Distinguishing between the gift of prophecy and the prophet's ministry. The simple gift of prophecy has often been confused with the ministry of the prophet. All who prophesy, they are not prophets, but all prophets must prophesy frequently. The gift of prophecy is one of the gifts or manifestations of the Holy Spirit to equip the believer for effective service, whereas the ministry of the prophet is one of the ministry gifts of Christ, which sets the believer into their specific ministry function in relationship to the body of Christ. The gifts that are listed in Romans chapter number 12, these are called motivational gifts. They are basic gifts that motivate and mobilize the believer for service. Motivational gifts are spiritual inclinations inside of the believer's spirit. The motivational gifts are for the building up of the individual. Somebody give me some water. Go ahead. The gifts that are listed in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, these are called gifts of charismata. They are the gifts of the Holy Spirit that empowers and equips the believer for service. These gifts are resident operations of the Holy Spirit. The charismatic gifts are for the building up or the edifying and the comfort of others. The gifts that are listed in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 11, these are called ministry gifts. They are gifts that's given by Christ, who is the head of the church, that ordains and anoints the believer to function in specific dimensions in Christ's ministry. These gifts are lifestyles, and they are life messages, and they are life examples of the resurrected Lord. The ministry gifts are for building up of the church. The gift of prophecy is only one of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Whereas the ministry of the prophet is inseparable from the person. Prophesying refers to the gift, and prophet refers to the man. All are exalted to covet the gift of prophecy, but not to be prophet. You can't just want to be a prophet. That's a calling from the head of the church. Go ahead. The gift of prophecy is restricted to edification, exhortation, and comfort. While the prophet's prophetic anointing covers all the above and also the following: revelations of the past, present, future, and the realms of the spirit, counsels of the ways, and workings of the Holy Spirit, directions and guidance into the plans and into the purposes of God, and predictions of future plans, purposes, and even the judgments of God. That's the ministry gift of the prophet. Go ahead. Mighty and higher gifts are necessary to place a person into the prophetic ministry. These four gifts must be in constant operation in the prophet's life. In order for you to declare and decree that you are a prophet of God, first of all, is you hearing him specifically call you to stand in that particular office. But you know, the Bible says the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance, but you also got to have equipment to go with the calling. Equipment. Go ahead. So we're going to talk about the four gifts that should be functioning in a prophet's life on a regular basis in order for him to even say he is a prophet. Go ahead. The word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, and prophecy. The gift of prophecy comes well down the list in the order of importance among spiritual gifts, whereas the prophetic ministry is second amongst the list of ministry. Now, 1 Corinthians 12 and 10 declares to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, diverse kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. Now, Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 11 says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers. Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk about discerning and judging prophecy in Revelation. Only prophecy of Scripture. Only the prophecy of Scripture is perfect and infallible. However, this type of prophetic revelation has ceased. The fact that prophecy today is open for judgment proves its present imperfect state. The first reason for judging prophecy, it is because of the imperfect state of the channel through which prophecy comes. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, verse 9 states, the gift itself is pure and holy, but the water that flows out from the gift, out of the tap, also carries with it the impurities of the tap. The purity of the prophecy depends upon the degree of yieldedness and sensitivity of the vessel of God, the vessel to God. We do not know in what spiritual state the person is in when prophesying. Thus, for our own safety, we must discern and judge the prophecies that are given. The second reason for judging prophecy is because the New Testament prophets are functioning and operating differently to their Old Testament counterparts. Old Testament prophets that were given through the prophets, they became the canon of Scripture. New Testament prophecy are judged today on the basis of that canon of scripture or the written word. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, verses 20 and 21. And 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 gives us clear indication that the New Testament experience involves judging, discerning, and retaining only that which is good. This process matures the believer as he continuously learns to choose that which is good, discern that which is holy, and live by that which proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, seven ways to judge and to discern prophetic revelation. Now, number one, we must judge the source of prophecy. Where is it coming from? The distinct qualification of one who would prophesy is that he must receive a word directly from God into his spirit. This factor distinguishes him from false prophets who speak out of his imagination, his soul, or his intellect. Jeremiah chapter number 23, verse number 21. I have not, this is what the word of God said, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. Which are both are derived from the word seer, means to look at or to behold intently. This word describes the seeing, perceiving, or receiving of God's message. The ability to receive marks out of the true prophet from the false. The scripture teaches us that prophetic word could possibly come from three major sources. Number one, through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the only source of a true prophetic word. The Holy Spirit moved these prophets. The Greek word for moved is pharaoh. It means to be born or carried alone, or to be driven alone by wind. Through the human spirit, these are the ones speaking out of their own mind, out of their own heart. When our mind, which is the place of expression for our human spirit, is set upon the Holy Spirit, the thoughts that are communicated are often filtered from evil and demonic influence. When our human spirit and mind are acting independently of the Holy Spirit's revelation and inspiration, then that prophetic word should be discarded. It is contaminated by another source. Normally, it is a deceiving or a lying spirit. Ezekiel chapter number 13, verses 1 through 6. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say thou unto them that prophecy that prophesy out of their own hearts. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirits and have seen nothing. O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes that are in the desert. You have not gone up into the gaps, neither have you made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in battle in the day of the Lord. They have seen vanity and lying divination, saith the Lord. The Lord saith, and the Lord hath not sent them. And they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. Jeremiah 23:26. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart. Through the evil spirit, the source in this instant is a demonic spirit. As long as the human spirit in the believer is flowing in relationship with the Holy Spirit, and the mind is continuously set upon the ways and the workings of the Holy Spirit, then there is adequate safety for the believer. A passive mind is Satan's door of entrance to influencing the believer to say and to do the desires of the evil one, judging the content of prophecy. What is it saying, or what is it implying? We must learn to judge the actual content of the passage. Is it in line with, number one, the canon of Scripture, the Word of God? The prophetic word must be examined carefully in the light of Scripture. The prophetic word must be tested on the basis of whether it conforms in content with the principles and precepts of the written word of God. Does it also line up with the testimony of Jesus the Christ? All that Jesus himself testifies and is presently testifying through the Holy Spirit and through his messengers form important criteria for judging prophecy. A right word at the right time brings the grace of God onto the scene. Prophecies should help confirm, and prophecies should help establish what Jesus is saying to the church presently. Does the prophetic word uphold other scriptures? And is it in balance with the whole counsel of God? Every prophetic word must be measured with the whole or the entire counsel of God so that it can be wisely communicated. All that the Spirit is saying is established in the Word. All that the word is revealing is confirmed by the Spirit. the Spirit and the Word, they must agree. They always agree. The Spirit confirms the Word, while the Word upholds the Spirit's actions. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 20 and 22. Despise not prophesying, prove all things, and hold fast to that which is good, and abstain from all appearances of evil. Judging by the character of prophecy, whom does the message reveal? In the New Testament, operation of the prophetic revelation, the recipient must learn to intelligently carry the prophetic message upon his heart. He has to learn to respond to the nature of the message. The purpose of the prophetic word is restoration and the lifting up of the soul, but not to condemn it. When we overreact to God's message, or we have a negative response, our emotions and our frustrations get entangled with the precious work of the Holy Spirit, and it contaminates the character or the prophetic word. The immaturity of our character and our negative response can corrupt the nature of the prophetic word. In communicating God's word, we ought to portray and reveal the character of God and his desire for his people. The contents of the prophecy could be right, but the nature and the character of the prophecy could be Christless, thus misrepresenting the master, the head of the church. Proverbs 15 and 2. Why y'all not helping out there? Jesus. Proverbs 15 and 2. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. God's word reveals character. God sent forth his word unto our hearts as seeds to plant his character and nature into us. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. According as his divine power had given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us these exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of God's divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. A good prophecy has the ability to reveal Christ. Let us not alter the nature and character of his message because of our overreaction and immaturity. Judging prophecy by the test of fulfillment. Does it come to pass? When judging by the test of fulfillment, we need to understand the creative power of prophecy, the imparting power of prophecy, the conditional aspects of prophecy, the process of prophetic fulfillment, the creative power of prophecy. Prophecy is more than just words spoken in due season. God's word is a living entity containing within itself divine power to accomplish itself. The spoken prophetic word releases that power to perform what is spoken and bring about the fulfillment of its content. The Hebrew word, dabor, means to drive forward that which is behind. Thus, the word dabor is not only something spoken, but it drives forward to accomplish its message. Thus, the term dabor not only means a spoken word, but also a deed. The spoken word and its accomplished actions are not two different functions, but they are one basic concept. A false prophet is one whose words are indeed counterfeit and empty. They lack the inner power for accomplishing the contents of the word that is spoken. Deuteronomy chapter number 18, verse 22. When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follows not, nor if it comes to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet had spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid. Now, you know, the church really needs this teaching, because there's so many people want to be prophets and so many people prophesy things that do not come to pass, wreck, ruin, tear up people's lives, built up on something false because God didn't tell them to say it in the first place. You know, prophecy is not about trying to be spiritual. You know, that's why a prophet prophesies, because these words are coming from God directly into his spirit, and he's matured enough to know that I'm speaking forth on God's behalf. So I don't have time to play, so somebody can think I'm more than what I ought to think concerning myself. Go ahead. The prophetic utterance given through proven prophets initiates a divine process that brings the prophetic message into effect, into the lives of those that are ministered to, imparting power in prophecy. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 14, and 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. 1 Timothy 4:14 says, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. 2 Timothy 1:6 says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hand. The prophetic utterances carries with it creative creative power that gave or channeled the gift from God to Timothy. Timothy was not just informed about the gifting, but he received an impartation of it. The conditional aspect of prophecy. The life in a seed does not become a tree unless it is planted, watered, and nurtured to grow. God does not overstep human responsibility. The prophetic word carries with it the power to accomplish if it is unhindered. Yet its fulfillment may be hindered by the recipient's life. The quality or the measure of fulfillment will depend upon the recipients who receive the prophetic word. We can always receive more than our prophecy. We're not limited by our prophecy, but it is a stepping stone for higher things in God. A prophetic word may sometimes be hindered in its fulfillment in the life of its recipients because certain conditions have not been fulfilled. Certain instructions have not been followed, and certain commands have not been obeyed. Now, how do we bring prophecy to fulfillment? Number one, do not limit yourself in your mind to just the prophecy that was given. Always believe God for more than that, the prophecy, and see beyond the rising of the prophetic word. Know that God is able to do what he says he could do. Let faith be active and aggressive. Keep on praying along the lines of the prophecy. Saturate prophecy with prayer and with intercession. Keep enlarging your thought pattern along the contents of the prophecy. Ask the Holy Spirit to work and to establish the prophecy that is revealed in your spirit. Develop the spirit of humility. Do not think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Develop a prophetic consciousness of God's destiny over your life. My prophetic counsel. Deuteronomy chapter 13, 1 through 5. If there rise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice and you shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he had spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God so commanded thee to walk in. So thou shalt put the evil away from the midst of thee. Well, see you all next week. Enjoy your evening.